We're holding on Nunvav Amud Bey's six lines from the bottom. Gemara says, Itmar, we have a discussion of Amiroim, Shomer Aveda. When a person has found a lost object, and we know the Torah says he has to hold on to it until he can figure out who the owner is. We're going to learn Bava Metzia in a few months, Be'ez Hashem, about all the details of how you announce it and how you check whether the person who claims it is telling the truth, etc. Anyway, during the time when he's watching it, what kind of shomer is he considered during that time? Rabbi says he's considered like a shomer chinam, which would mean he'd be chayev only as far as pshia, only as far as if he's careless with it, but not anything else, if it was lost, stolen, died, whatever, then he just have to swear to that and based in. Rabbi Yosef Amar Kashem Asachar, Damian Rabbi Yosef says he's considered like a Shem Asachar, so he'd be chayev for Gneva Va'aveda and Potter for Oynes. Now, what is this discussion doing over here in Bava Kamma? On the face of it, it belongs there in Bava Metzia. And in fact, there in Bava Metzia, in Eilat Metzias, it does bring this machlokas briefly, but it doesn't go through the whole sugya like it does over here. So the Pnei Yeshua says the relevance of it is to here. We mentioned in the Mishnah the case where a person, where as far as a person watching his own animal, what he's responsible for in terms of, we learned Shemira Posa, Shemira Ma'ula, does he have to make sure that the door is strong enough to, that the walls and the door are strong enough to withstand even a Ruach She'ena Metzuya, even unusually strong circumstances, only Ruach Metzuya. So he explains, in a similar vein over here, you'd have the question would be, as far as an Aveda, if we treat the person who's looking after it like a shomer chinam, then it would mean that as long as he does shmirah p'chusa, it's enough. If we say that he's considered like a shomer sachar, as Rabbi Yosef does, then we would require him to do shmirah me'ula. The Ur Sameach gives a different vote on it, a variation of that. He says the Gemara is going to go on to say that even that appointed Rabbi Yosef, who says that he's a Shomer Sachar, there's two different reasons to understand why he would be a Shomer Sachar, and based on those two reasons would come the question: does he need Shmirah Me'ula or is Shmirah P'chusa enough? So that would be the relevance of this machlokas to our Masechta and to our Perek. What the Pnei Yeshua says, the vote is also, we're not just talking about the shmirah that's needed in order for the animal itself to not get injured or damaged or killed or what have you, but more to the point, we're talking about what kind of shmirah is the person who's watching and obligated to do to make sure that it doesn't go and cause damages, which eventually are going to bounce back on the owner of it. So that would be the machlokas Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. So, Rabba Omer Kashem Chinam Domi. Rabba says he's considered like a Shem Chinam, because after all, Rabba says, "My Hana Kamatile." After all, what Hana is coming to him? There's no Hana that he's getting from this watching the animal or whatever the thing is. Therefore, he's like a Shem Chinam. Rabbi Yosef Omer Kashem Asacha Domi, because Rabbi Yosef says there is a Hana. Bahahida, because he has the Hana that there are going to be certain times when if a poor person comes asking for bread or for tzedakah, he's not going to have to give it to him because there are times when he's going to be occupied with taking care of the lost object. We have the concept, Oisik mitzvah, Potter min mitzvah. So, for example, in Bava Metzia, the Gemara tells us that if you found a piece of clothing, then you have to shake it out once every 30 days to prevent it from getting moldy or whatever. If you find an animal, you have to feed it, different things like that. So now, while he's busy working with that, if at that moment a poor person were to come to the door asking for tzedakah, then he would be potter from giving him that tzedakah. Therefore, he's gaining by that. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef says he can be called a shomer chinam. And in fact, that point is called in the Gemara and other places, it calls it pruta de Rabbi Yosef, the pruta that Rabbi Yosef says that he's gaining from the fact that he's gaining from the fact that at certain times he's osik the mitzvah. Now, Tosfos explains, first of all, it doesn't just mean as long as he has the lost object in his house, he's potter from other mitzvahs. Obviously not. When a person is, we only say osik mitzvah potter min mitzvah when one of them prevents him from doing the other one, as in this case, if he has to go give the tzedakah to the poor, the bread, whatever, to the poor person, then he has to interrupt what he's doing with the aveda, but otherwise not. Tosfos also discusses at some length. Now, in the end, the Gemara is going to go through a whole sugya over here, and it's not going to come to a final conclusion who the halacha is like. We do have the usual rule that when Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef argue, most of the time the halacha is like Rabbah. But so is that the case over here, or do we say like Rabbi Yosef? Tosef points out there are other places in Shas where the Gemara takes Rabbi Yosef's point about Prutta de Rabbi Yosef as a given. So in that case, that would indicate the halacha is like that. However, Tosfos says maybe not necessarily. Even Rabbah would agree that when you're occupied with taking care of the lost object, or also for that matter, when you first are the Radvaz also points out that when you pick it up, when you first find it in the street and you're bringing it home to hold on to it until somebody shows up to claim it. Or until you can, whatever, until you announce it, and then the person comes, whatever, for sure, even Rabbah would agree that you are potter from the mitzvah at that point, because Rabbah doesn't consider that enough of a benefit to warrant him being called a Shema Sachar, and Rabbi Yosef holds it does. Anyway, so that's one way. So Havak is Shema Sachar, so therefore Rabbi Yosef says that's reason enough to make him like a Shema Sachar. Others explain that Rabbi Yosef Omar Kishomus Sachadami. Others explain Rabbi Yosef has a different reason, not because of Prutta did Rabbi Yosef, but rather because a different point. Rabbi Yosef Omar Kishomus Sachadami, Kibin Dirachmana Shabde Bal Korche, because the Torah is putting him under a shibur, whether he likes it or not. The fact is, the Torah says, you find a lost object that belongs to a fellow Yid, you have to take it in, and you have to look after it until he shows up to claim it. So therefore, the Torah is mandating that you watch this thing, whether you like it or not. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef says, that mandate from the Torah is reason enough to make him be considered a Shema Sachar, and to have a higher level of responsibility for it, to make sure, as we said, first of all, that it itself doesn't get damaged, but more to the point that it itself shouldn't go out and cause damage. So that would be another reason to consider, says Rabbi Yosef, to consider him a Shema Sachar. Hilkach k'Shema Sachar Dami, therefore that would be reason enough to consider him a Shema Sachar. Meforshim point out, we're not talking about the fact that he has the hanah from the mitzvah per se. There we say mitzvahs lav lahonis nitnu, but according to the first version, it's because of Prutta de Rabbi Yosef, again, because of the fact that he's potter from giving tzedakah to a poor person at that time when he's taking care of the aveda. And according to the second version, the very fact that the Torah itself puts the mitzvah on him, that itself makes him that he's considered like a Shema Sachar, because the Torah mandates that he has that higher level of responsibility on it. Okay.
But the fact that the Torah places a responsibility without providing a reward, how can that make him a Shema Sachar?
Well, the idea would be, in other words, that there is actually an explanation. The Imre Bina brings an explanation and says it's true. The second Lashon is not really arguing with the first Lashon. We're saying the first Lashon is saying about the Prutta de Rabbi Yosef. But the fact is, why is that? So what? The guy can say, I don't want the responsibility, and I don't want the reward. I'm not going to take advantage of that Prutta de Rabbi Yosef. So therefore, the second answer is saying that no. In addition, the fact is, the Torah put him under a shibud, whether you like it or not. You're a Shema Sachar. And again, the fact is, there does exist the schar of Prutta de Rabbi Yosef. You don't want to take responsibility, you don't want to take advantage of it. That's your business, but still, it exists. The Or Sameach makes another point as well, that a Shema Sachar, the difference is, has the difference is that by a Shema Chinam, really basically all you have to do is just put the thing in a safe place, and that's that. Whereas a Shema Sachar, you have to actually look after it with your own goof. by an Aveda. The Torah says that you have to look after it with your own guf. So therefore, that means, in other words, the Torah says Rabbi Yosef, therefore the Torah is putting the responsibility of a Shomer Socher on him. So in other words, according to that second
reason, it doesn't answer my question.
Right. Well, the answer is, according to the second, so that's the thing. According to the Imre Bina, the answer is it's both. He has Prutta de Rabbi Yosef, and even if he doesn't want to take advantage of Prutta de Rabbi Yosef, nevertheless, it exists. According to the Or Sameach's reason, the point is, it's true. According to the second reason, there's not necessarily a scar involved. Nevertheless, we see that the Torah put on him the responsibilities of a Shomer Socher, even though he's not being paid for it.
Because we see about the principle and the mitzvahs? We don't do the mitzvahs.
That's true.
For
we say what mitzvahs lav lahanes nitnu. Right. Well, that's the thing. According to the first reason, there is an actual hanah there, namely pruta de Rabbi Yosef. According to the second reason, we're saying there may not be a hanah, but nevertheless, since the Torah is saying that he has a higher degree of responsibility for it being an aveda, then therefore, in effect, he's a shomer socher, even though he's not actually getting paid.
Right.
So now the Gemara brings another one of those simonim, simen achziro la'olam hoshev chia amauta nishbar socher. Again, this is key words for the next few arguments that the Gemara is going to bring, going back and forth between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, about to be able to prove one way or the other whether the Shomer Aveda is like a Shomer Chinam or like a Shomer Socher. I mentioned yesterday about the Rabbi David Powder's Vertlach, about the deeper significance of these simonim. Here he explains this one as having to do with Gilgulim, Hachzira La'olam, the neshama has to be returned to this world, and the question is why it could be returned, or why can't the person be given another chance while he's still alive, Chia, Meloshin Chayim, and the answer is it doesn't work out, Amarta Nishbar Socher, because you have to have you can't something along the lines of you can't break a schar. Hashem has his judgments of how things have to work out. Anyway, so Esfer of Yosef l'Rabba. So Rabbi Yosef says to Rabba, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me that the Shomer Aveda is only like a Shomer Chinam, but we learn in a Braisa, Echziru l'makom shiyir ena. What happens? So now this guy found a lost object. And he goes and returns it. He finds out who the owner is. So now he goes and returns it to a place where he expects that the owner is going to see it. So he doesn't wait until the owner comes for it. He just, for example, it was a he found, for example, a bundle of money which he knows. Let's say there's a name on it that shows that belongs to Pliny. So he goes and drops it off in a place where he knows that Pliny is going to see it. Ein chayev l'tapol ba. So then he doesn't have to take any further care of it. Nignavai avda, but if it gets lost, if it gets stolen or lost from that point on, chayav b'achriyusa, then he's responsible to make up for it because it got lost or stolen. Now, my nignavai avda, lav nignavai mibesei v'avda mibesei, doesn't it mean b'pashtos? Now, if we're saying that once he dropped it off by the guy's house, then he's potter. So b'pashtos, when is nignavai sha'avda? When do we mean if it got lost or stolen, then he's chayav for it? Means when it's still in his own house. Lav sh'nignavai mibesei v'avda mibesei. Wouldn't it mean that it got stolen or lost from his house? Well, that means, in other words, as long as it is in his house, he's chayav for gneva v'aveda. That's exactly the definition of a shomer socher. And the answer is loy. No, Rabba could answer that no, it means mimakam shech zira. It means it got lost or stolen from the place where he returned it to. So he returned it to a place where it's not well protected and where it ends up getting lost or stolen from there. So then even a shomer chinam is going to be chayav for such a thing. That's preshaya. He put it in a place where the owner was going to see it, but it's a place where it can easily be lost or stolen from there. So then so that was pshia for him to leave it in such a place. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What do you mean? We said once he dropped it off over there, he doesn't have to take any further care of it. So Rabba answers, the difference is, the case that we're talking about, we're saying that he's chayev for it being lost or stolen, is talking about where he dropped it off in the afternoon. Meaning, that so Vatauti Katani. So the Braise is telling us two different cases. Yurab Yosef are understanding that it's all one, that it's a Yurab Yosef understanding that you have like this. It's saying if you dropped it off, then you're not chayev in any responsibility. But if back when it was by your house, Nivnavai Avda, then you are chayev. No, Rabbi is saying, the Braise is saying two different cases within returning it. If you returned it in the morning before the guy goes to work, to a place where he expects that the owner will see it, or shchiach the eye of nothing. So it's a place where it's common that the owner is going to go in and out for chazila, and he's going to see it. Then he doesn't have any chiyuv to take care of it anymore because he dropped it off in the morning, and the person is likely to be home. But if you return it in the afternoon or some other time of day when we don't expect that he's going to be home, the Rosh says the it doesn't dafka mean the afternoon. It just means, in other words, even the afternoon, even though sometimes in the afternoon a person does come home, but not necessarily. Marshall points out, really, I mean, it's going to depend on circumstances. Obviously, it depends what the work day is like in a particular place, and other factors like that. Anyway, if he returned it in the afternoon, so even though the mokim shiurena, even though it's a place where he would be expected to see it, but deloy shchiach the eye of nafik, it's not common for the owner to go in and out at that hour. Deloy chazila, therefore he's not going to see it at that time. The nignav ayavda, and it gets lost or stolen, it gets stolen or lost. Chayav bachriyosa, then the one who found it and returned it to there is chayav bachriyosa, because that's not considered that he returned it yet, because he should have waited to return it until he knows that the owner will see it very shortly. So no proof from this, says Rabba, that the one who was watching it is considered a shema sachar. In fact, he is considered a shema chinam, but even a shema chinam can't do pshia, and he to return it in the middle of the day, where it's going to be hours until the guy comes home, is considered pshia, and even a shema chinam would be chayim for that. Okay. Eisvei. So Rabbi Yosef says, I have another contradiction to Rabba. This one from the continuation of the same Braisa. The one who found the Aveda is always Chayev until he returns it to the other guy's Rishus. Now, my La'olam, what do we mean? What does that word La'olam add? Lav afilu mibesa. On the face of it, doesn't it mean even if it gets stolen or lost from his own house? So in other words, the first part of the Braisa was talking about what happens when he returns it. Tosfos points out, if it was a separate Braisa, then we could say it means something else. It means he's chayev not to be careless with it or something. But since it's actually a continuation of the same Braisa, and the Braisa previously mentioned Nignavai Avda, then therefore we understand that this part of the Braisa is also talking about that. So what does it mean that he's chayev for Nignavai Avda, and saying he's always chayev until he returns it to the other guy's Rishos, implies even when it's by his house, he's chayev for Gnev Vaveda. That's the definition of a Shema Sachar. So my lav, lav afilu mibesa. Doesn't that mean even that if it gets stolen or lost from his house, shema minak hashem asachar gami? Therefore, we see that he's considered like a shem asachar. Omalei. So Rabbi answers him. There is a difference. Modina l'chob balechayim. I do agree to you when it comes to animals that there's a difference that with animals, because they're able to move around, that therefore you are chayev gnev v'aveda. Now, nothing to do with Prutta de Rabbi Yosef and with the fact that the Torah imposed extra responsibility on a shomer aveda or anything like that. But by animals, there's a special thing. De kiven de nakti lohu nigra bar yosa. Once it happened that this animal already has walked out, this animal has already gone in a different way, in a different place than the rest of the animals in that herd usually go. So therefore, Rabbi says, I agree with an animal. You need extra care to make sure that it doesn't wander away again. So therefore, yes, even a shemachinam would be chayev for the tevein. But the argument between us, says Rabbi, is as far as metaltlin, where they can't move on their own. So there, I see no reason, says Rabbi, to consider him a shomer sachar. There, he's just a shomer chinam. Now, Tosfos points out before, earlier in the previous discussion, when Rabba had to say that Hechzira meant that he returned it in the middle of the day, when the guy's not home, why didn't he give a similar answer that we're talking about animals versus other kinds of things? So Tosfos says he hadn't yet thought of that answer. But now Tosfos makes the point that only when, now you don't always say that Nigri Bar Yossi, you don't always say that this that it took Nigri, Rashi explains, means steps. So Nigri Bar Yossi means outside steps. In other words, it's already gone a different way than the other ones before. Now Tosfos says when you have the result that now the animal is more of a wandering type and therefore it's more likely to be lost or stolen, that's when Rabba would say that therefore you have an extra degree of responsibility. Doesn't mean, for example, that just because this animal was had previously walked out, if now Ganovim break into his property and take the animal, that doesn't mean he'd be chayav, because there you can't say Nigri Bar Yossi. There it has nothing to do with the fact that it previously went out. They came in and took it. Only when the animal on its own starts wandering away and then Ganovim get it or it gets lost and you can never find it, that's when we'd be saying that he's chayav. Tosfos also says maybe in fact by Gneva, the fact that it previously walked out does not necessarily cause it to be more susceptible to Gneva. So therefore that would explain why in the previous part of the Braisa he couldn't make this distinction between animals and Metaltalin, because there it mentioned Gneva, whereas here that it doesn't mention Gneva in this part, then therefore he can understand that in fact animals he would be chayav only for Aveda, not for Gneva. Those are the various possibilities that Tosfos discusses. Hagos Hagra brings over here that also the Rambam has a bit of a different girsa over here. The Rambam ends up paskening like Rabbi Yosef that he is considered a shomer sachar. He has a bit of a different girsa over here that it's not even a matter of Medina Lacha that Rabbah is saying, I agree with you. This is all actually part of Rabbi Yosef's statement that if he returned it to the place where the guy is going to see it and then it gets lost or stolen from there, then actually the shomer would be chayev, because again, once the animal has walked out before, there's a much higher likelihood it's going to walk out again. Therefore, he has to return it in person rather than just dropping it off over there. So according to the girsa we have in front of us, the question is, to what extent is he chayev for it when it's still in his house? And Rabba is saying, with an animal, he has more of a greater degree of responsibility. Whereas according to the Rambam's view, so the vote is, when it comes to an animal, this was actually in Rambam Shlosha Prakim a couple of days ago, that he would actually have to return the animal in person, because otherwise it may wander off again. Okay. So still no contradiction against Rabba. Now the other way around, Esvei Rabba Lo Rabbi Yosef. Now Rabba says, I have a contradiction to you, Rabbi Yosef. You're saying that the guy is considered like a shomer sachar, but we have another braisa that says, Hoshev, now like this, the pasuk says, when you find a lost object, Hoshev to Shive Machicha, you have to return them to your brother. So why the double expression? So when it says Hoshev, Ainli Elabavesai, from that, if you only had the word Hoshev, you would know that only he's yotze only if you return it directly to the guy's house. How do we know it would also be good enough if you brought it to his garden or to a ruin, to a broken down house that belongs to him? It's enough that because now he returned it to the other guy's rishus. Tamad lamet teshivim mekomokim. Therefore, the pasuk says not just hashiv but teshivim, meaning you should return them, meaning any kind of returning is good enough. Now, says Rabba, my leginosa or lechobasa. What kind of garden and what kind of churba are we talking about? Ilema leginosa amishtameras or lechobasa amishtameras. Do we mean the kind where it's well guarded, where the garden has a good strong gate and then lock on it, and then the churba similarly? So then there's no chiddush. Hainu beisai. That's exactly the same as returning it to his house, and the braisa doesn't need to tell us a ribui from a posuk that he's yotze. Evidently, we have to be talking about that he returned it to a garden or a churba that's not so well guarded. And nevertheless, the Braise is saying that's good enough for him to return it there. Therefore, doesn't that amount to saying that he's a shema chinam? Because one of the things is so we're saying by a shema chinam, he has a lesser degree of responsibility. So therefore, his lesser degree of responsibility would include that he can just return it to a gina and a churba. All he needs is, in terms of what we said in the Mishnah, he has to make sure that it won't go out beruach mitzuya under the normal circumstances that prevail at that time. If the only thing that's going to allow it to go out is a ruach she'ena mitzuya, then that's fine. He'd still be potter, but only if he's a shema chinam. So the Braisa then is implying exactly that. He's a shema chinam. Therefore, it's enough for him to return it to a place where it'll be safe, beruach mitzuya, but not beruach she'ena mitzuya. Mefoshim do deal with the point. Actually, the context of the pasuk is talking about finding an animal and returning it. And we just said Rabbi himself agrees that with animals you have a higher degree of responsibility. So what's going on over here? And there are various answers. When this machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef is brought in Bav Metzia, Tosfos says over there that maybe Rabbah thought we're talking about animals that are not able to walk; they're tied up, or they're incapacitated, or whatever, and therefore you don't have the point that we said before about Nigri Boyasa that's previously walked out, and therefore it's more likely to wander off again. A different Tosfos elsewhere and in Shas and Shavuos points out another reason that, look, the Pasuk doesn't mention only animals, it mentions also simlosa, which means a garment. So therefore, Rabbah would say that it's true. As far as animals, you can't just return it to a gin or a churba and expect that to be good enough. But with clothing or something like that, then that's good enough. And then there are various other answers as well. Again, Tosfos had said before that only when we say that the animal gets lost again or stolen again because of the Nigri Boyasa, therefore we can be mechayev him, but otherwise not. Well, very well, we could have a case over here where in the Ginner or the Churba, it doesn't wander out again. It is closed off, the Ruach Mitzuya, but let's say Ganovim go in there and take it, where you can't hold him responsible for that, because it's not the fact that it previously walked out that caused it to get stolen. So various answers of what Rabbah would do with that. Anyway, the point is that Rabbah is saying that the Braise is saying it's good enough to return it to a Gina or a Churba. According to me, who says that he's a Shema Chinam, good. That's easy to understand. According to you, Rabbi Yosef, if he's a Shema Sachar, why is that good enough? So Rabbi Yosef answers him. The answer is that no, I would say the Braisa is in fact talking about a garden or a churba that are well guarded. So we're talking, in other words, even a ruach she'ena mitzuya is not going to cause the animal to be free to go out. You have a garden with a strong door and a strong lock, or a churba similarly. And now you, Rabbah, were asking in that case, what's the chiddush? That's exactly the same as returning it to his house. What's the chiddush? The answer is, Rabbi Yosef says, the chiddush of that braisa and the chiddush of the pasuk that it's darshaning is deloibra in a das violin, that you don't require the das of the owner. So you shouldn't think that maybe in order to return a lost object, you're not yotze, unless you actually give it to in such a way that the owner knows it's there. No, says Rabbi Yosef, the point of the Braisa is, as long as you put it in a place that's mishtameres, and Rabbi Yosef saying, being that the guy's a shema sacha, means it has to be mishtameres, strong mishtameres, shmira ma'ula, as we've called it before. But once he does that, then it's good enough, even if the owner doesn't know about it, because eventually, fine, he may do it in the middle of the day, let's say, and the owner is not home, but eventually the owner is going to come to his gina or churba and find it. And so Rabbi Yosef says the point of this braisa and the point of the pasuk is like Rabbi Lazar says. Whenever a person is returning something, for example, a person stole something, then it's not good enough to just drop it off in the guy's property and be yotze that way. You always need, says Rav Elazar, you always need das bailim. You always need to tell the other person that you returned it. Chutz me hashavas aveda, with the exception of hashavas aveda, there you yotze. Even if the guy doesn't know, shari ribs about Torah hashavas harbe, because there the Torah implies by saying hoshev teshivim that you yotze, even if you that you yotze even if you didn't actually inform him. So therefore, so the Braisa is making, so the Braisa is making that exact same point, but not to say that, not to say that, that if he returned it to a Gino or a Churva, that's not well guarded, that he would be Potter. Rabbi Yosef is saying, since he's a Shema Sacher, he would in fact be Chayev in that case. So, and the truth is, later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about there are actually cases. There are actually cases where even a Ganav or a Gazlan can return the thing without informing the other guy. We're going to have cases later in our Masechta that deal with such things. For example, let's say you put it. Let's say Reuven stole from Shimon. Let's say Reuven stole $10 from Shimon. Later on, at some point, he's paying Shimon for something else and includes an extra $10 together with that. Then he, without actually telling Shimon, I'm giving you an extra $10 for that, then he's still yotze the mitzvah of Heshev Esagzela with that. We're going to deal with such cases later in the Masechta. The idea being, in other words, a person is going to count his money and he'll realize soon enough that there's extra over there and he'll put two and two together. Okay. So no contradiction to Rabbi Yosef from this Braisa, because Rabba would say the Braisa is talking about returning it to a Gino or a Churva, which are not well guarded. It's only good enough for Ruach Metzuya, and nevertheless he's Potter. That would mean that he's a Shem Echinam, but Rabbi Yosef is saying no, it's talking about a well guarded Gino or Chotzer, and the Chiddush is good enough to return there, to return it over there without informing the owner. Next, Omele Abaya Rabbi Yosef. So now Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, I have more questions on you. The Rashba gives an explanation why Rabba gives up the argument at this point and why Abaya takes over. Rabba himself has a shitta in Bav Metzia about returning things at a certain time. So therefore, the next question that Abaya is going to ask on Rabbi Yosef wouldn't be relevant according to Rabba, but Abaya himself is asking according to his own shitta. So he says, Rabbi Yosef, va'at le'tisbara d'shemach aveder k'shemachinam dami. Don't you agree that a shomer aveda is considered like a shemachinam? I have a proof for you. Suppose a person found a lost object. Now, later on, the owner of it comes to ask for it back, and the other guy claims that meanwhile it was stolen from him. And so then the other guy takes him to Beis Din and he actually swears. Now, we did learn, by the way, in Gittin, we learned Hamotzim Tzia Lo Yishava Mepnei Tikkun Olam Mecham Meret Takana, that a person who finds an Aveda doesn't swear because Tikkun Olam, because otherwise people are going to say, why should I bother picking up the Aveda in the first place? That's talking about, for example, where he's a Moedah B'Miktzas, where Reuven says, I lost $100, and Shimon says, all I found of yours is $50, so we're not going to make Shimon swear as a modi b'mitzas b'mnei tikkun olam. But here we're talking about something else, where Reuven finds an animal, for example, or he finds $100, whatever. Reuven loses an animal or $100 or whatever. Shimon finds it, and now when Reuven comes to collect it, then Shimon tells him it was stolen. So Reuven takes him to Beis Din, because as a shomer, because again, even if he's a shomer chinam, he'd still need to swear to that in Beis Din. He swears falsely. He swears that it was stolen, and it turns out that it was false. So he made that claim and he swore falsely. So now later on, Edim show up and say that he himself stole it. So Mishalom Tashlum Ekevel. So therefore, he himself is considered a ganav, and therefore he himself is going to pay Tashlum Ekevel. Rashi refers to in the next perek, we're going to learn the details of these dinim, and we're going to talk about where we learn that from in the pasuk. Anyway, the point is, says Abaya, the sakdad hashem asacher habi. If you're going to tell me that the one who's watching it is considered a shem asacher, amay mashalom tashlume kefil. Why is there tashlume? Why does tashlume kefil even come into the picture? If you say he's a shem achinam, is potter for gneiv of aveda. Okay, so he's claiming that it was stolen. Therefore, he swears, and when he swears, he's potter. And now, when it turns out that he was lying and he actually stole it himself, he's paying tashlume kefil. But if it comes to a shema sachar, is anyway chayev for gneiv aveda. Kauna boi shalumi. So as soon as he claims that it was stolen, immediately he's going to be on the hook to pay the keren. It never reaches the point where he's going to be taken to Beis Din and swear and then end up paying kefil. And in fact, Tosfos adds the point once he says that it was stolen, in effect, meaning therefore that he's saying I'm responsible to pay for it. So even if later on Adam do come and say that he himself stole it, you still can't make him chayiv for the kefil. So what is there a case where the Braise is what is there a case where the Bchir Ba'aba is saying that there can be a case where he's paying kefil if the guy is a shem asacher to begin with? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers, "Hoch ma'askin and gun shetoyin tainus listim mizuyan." He's not just making an ordinary claim that it was stolen, as in somebody went into his house while he wasn't home and stole it. We're talking about that he claims that it was stolen from him by an armed bandit. Now that kind of thing is considered an oinus. A shem asacher is potter for oinus. So therefore, yes, you have the case where he's trying to potter himself from paying with that claim, and later on it turns out Adam come and say that he was lying. That's why he's paying kefil. The question is, Amalei listim mizuyan gazlan hu. What do you mean? Isn't a listim mizuyan a gazlan? And in the case of a gazlan, then the whole concept where the shomer should have to pay double is only when it was gneva. Now there's a difference in halacha between gneva and gzela. We're going to talk about this distinction in more detail in the next parak. Basically, the difference is that a ganav comes in stealth. He comes, for example, he breaks into the house when nobody is home, for example, and he steals or different cases like that. A gazlan is somebody. There's actually a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel that describes one of David's soldiers by Yigzel Asachanis Miyan Mitzri. He grabbed a spear from a Mitzri, from an enemy, and killed him with that same spear. So we see that gzela means actually grabbing it out of the other guy's hand, meaning that gzela is where the other guy knows about it and he takes it forcibly. So Abaya is asking, a list of mizuyan, an armed bandit, is considered a gazlan. Now, when the Torah says the whole concept of tashlume kefil and tashlume abal b'chamisha in the case of an animal, that applies only to a ganav. That whole concept does not apply to a gazlan for reasons that we're going to learn in the next parak. So that being the case, if the shomer makes a tainus ganav, then he himself, if it turns out that he was the ganav, then he's treated like a ganav and paying kefil. But if he himself makes a claim of gzela, then he's considered like a gazlan. A gazlan never pays kefil. So then if he's claiming listim mizuyan, then there's still no kefil to talk about. Omale, so Yosef answers, no. Shani omer listim mizuyan, given the difference is a listim mizuyan, given the mitmar, since he tries to hide from people, ganav hu, then therefore he is considered for this purpose a ganav. In other words, when would we consider it a gazlan? Only if he actually goes and grabs the thing out of the guy's hand or something openly. Here, a list of mizuyan hides from people, hides by the side of the road or whatever to go and lurk and leap out at people. So that kind of thing makes him considered a ganav, and therefore, yes, if there's a claim of listim mizuyan, so on the one hand, it would be considered an oines, and therefore shem asacher would be potter for it. But if it turns out there was no listim mizuyan, and he himself had stolen it, then instead we'd consider him a ganav, and we would say the listim mizuyan himself, if there truly was a listim mizuyan, eventually would have to pay kefil. And now, if the shomer made a claim of listim mizuyan, then it turns out that it was false, and he himself did it, then he himself would have to be a kefil. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yosef is saying it could still work even with a shem asacher, because the fact is that list of mizuyan would be considered an oines, and a shem asacher is potter from oines as long as he swears to that. So one way of understanding why is a list in Missourian considered a why is a list in Missourian considered a ganav? That when the Rambam brings this halacha, the Magid Mishnah gives an explanation that the list in Missourian basically he does intend to go in there without anybody knowing. So in that sense, he's like a ganav. So in other words, the usual way of explaining why a list in Missourian is considered like a ganav is because we're saying because he hides out by the side of the road. But the Magid Mishnah gives a different explanation. He does, in fact, come onto the property to begin with in stealth, but he has a weapon with him in case he's confronted. That this way he can fight his way out of it. So therefore, that's enough for him to be considered a ganav because to begin with, he was trying to accomplish it in a way where the other guy is not going to know about it. Later on, and then in the next parak, the Gemara points out the difference is a gazlan in a way the Torah treats more leniently because he has no motor boss of a dumb or motor from Hashem. That's less serious in a way than a ganav who's afraid of people but not afraid of Hashem and therefore deserves to be punished more harshly. Okay. So the point is, in other words, so there's no contradiction from that. So yes, the Shomer Aveda, says Rabbi Yosef, is considered like a Shomer Sachar. What would be the case where Kefo could come into the picture if he claims list in Mizuyan? On the one hand, it's an Oines. On the other hand, it's considered like a Ganav as far as Kefo. Esve, so Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, I have another contradiction against you. Abraisa says, Now the quote of the Braisa that we're quoting over here begins with the word loy at the top of the next Amud. Rashi says, evidently it's a Braisa, but I don't know where it's taught. I don't know what the context of it is. It suggests like we're starting in the middle of a Braisa, but where is the beginning of the Braisa? Rashi says, I don't know. Tosfos says that it refers to towards the end of Perek HaMafkid. You have a case that discusses over there if the one who's watching the pikadin, so a regular shomer, if he is sheleach yad, if he goes and then decides, if he goes and actually misuses the thing, the pikadin that's by him, he's a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, as the case may be, and he has no business using it, and he decides to use it for his own purposes, so then it's considered that he's koinet, and now he's chayev for anything that happens to it, including onsin. So Tosfos says there's a braisa over there that talks about how we know this concept by both a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar, and so the braisa over there is trying to learn one from the other by a kavah chomer. And then so here we're picking up in the middle of the braisa where the Gemara is going to try to slog up that kavah chomer. So loy, so there's the Braisa says, no, you can't necessarily learn a Shomer Sachar from a Shomer Chinam. Ima Mauta of a Shomer Chinam, you know, because the whole concept of Shlichus Yad that only mentions in the Torah in connection with a Shomer Chinam. It doesn't mention it in connection with a Shomer Sachar. So we have to figure out how we know that if he's Shleach Yad, that if he misuses the pikadin, that he should be chayiv for anything that happens to it, Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar. So first the Braisa tries to make a Kavah Chomer on it. And then the Braisa says, loy, not necessarily is that a valid Kavah Chomer. Ima Mauta B'Shem Achinam, you know why? You can say that maybe the concept of Shlichus Yad and that he's Chayiv now for everything applies to a Shem Achinam, Shekein B'Shalom Tashlomi Kefal, because the Shem Achinam has a Chumrah in that he pays Tashlomi Kefal, again, when he claims Tainas Ganav. How do you compare it to a Shem Asachar where he's not paying Tashlomi Kefal? Because again, if he claims that it was stolen, then automatically he's chayev to pay the keren, and therefore there never comes a point when he's paying kefal. Now, says Abaya, v'isakudaydach list in Missourian ganavu. If you're telling me, Rabbi Yosef, that a list in Missourian, that an armed robber is in fact considered like a ganav, and therefore there is kefal involved, nimtza b'shem asachar m'shalom tashlumei kefal. Then yes, you do have a case of a shem asachar who pays tashlumei kefal, because exactly that, where you have, where he claims that it was stolen by a list in Mizuyan, and he swears to that in Basedin, and then it turns out that Adim come and say that he swore falsely, and that in fact he kept it for himself, and based on what we just said, he'd be paying tashlumei kefal. So how can the Braisa be slogging up the Kavah Chomer by saying that a Shomer Sachar never pays kefal according to you, Rabbi Yosef? Yes, there is a case that he does. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef says Hochi Kamer. What the Braisa means is as follows: Loi, the reason why you can't use the Kavah Chomer because Imamauta b'Shomer Chinam shekein meshalom tashlumei kefal b'chol tan noisav. all the Braisa means is with a Shemech Chinam, no matter what he claims happened to the thing, he's always going to pay kefil. Whether he claims it was lost or stolen or an oynes or anything like that, always a Shemech Chinam is potter from everything except for Pshia. So as long as he's not claiming that there was Pshia or Shlichus Yad, then he would be able to swear and he gets off without paying anything. And then if it turns out that he's lying, then it turns out he's paying kefil because he's considered the ganav. So the Braisa is saying always pays tashlumei kefil, no matter what kind of claim he makes about what happened to the animal, to the thing. Toma b'shem asachar. So the Braisa is saying, how do you compare to a shem asachar? She'in m'sham tashlumei kefil ela b'toyin tainus listim mizuyan, as opposed to with a shem asachar, there's only going to be the one case where he pays kefil when there's a taina of listed mizuyan. But if he were to claim regular gneva or regular aveda, he would in fact be chayev to pay only keren and not kefil, and therefore the braisa is saying that you can't. But that since you have that chumra in a shem asacha over a shem achinam, therefore you can't necessarily learn that the concept of shlichus yad that applies to one automatically applies to the other. Okay. So the Braisa is not saying that a Shema Sachar never pays kefil. The Braisa is just saying there's a much lesser likelihood that a Shema Sachar is going to be paying kefil, because it would only be if he claimed listed Mizuyan in the first place. All right. Esve, Abaye says, I have another contradiction on Rabbi Yosi. A Braisa, now you have the Pasuk says about a Shoyl. So the Pasuk describes a person borrowed an animal or something else from somebody else. The nishbar oimes, if that animal then gets broken or dies, then we say he's chayev to pay. Ein li ela shvura umesa. So based on the Pasuk, you would know that a shoyl is only chayev for shvura umesa, only where the animal was broken or meaning injured or where it died. Gneva v'aveda minayin. How do we know that a shoyl is also chayev for gneva v'aveda? So amar to kavachomer. Well, you're gonna figure there's a kavachomer. Umashem asacher shapoter by shvura umesa chia b'gneva v'aveda. Madach Hashem asacher who is potter, the Torah potters him for shvura umesa, because the pasuk actually says explicitly a few psukim earlier that if the animal was nishbar or nishba or whatever, then he takes a shvura and then he's potter. So Madach Hashem Asacher, who's potter for Shvura Mesa, Chayev B'Gnev V'Aveda, but he's Chayev B'Gnev V'Aveda. Again, the Pasuk says so explicitly. So then, Shoyol Shechiyah B'Shvura Mesa, Ein Adin Shechiyah B'Gnev V'Aveda. So then if a Shoyol is Chayev, even for Shvura Mesa, which is an Oynes, how much more so that he's Chayev for Gnev V'Aveda, which is less of an Oynes? And the Braisa says, V'Zeru Kavachomer, She'ein Olav Tshuva, this is in fact a Kavachomer where there's no possible refutation of it. It's clear that that's how it is, that a shoyl is going to be chayev for everything. The point why the Braisa finishes off with that. So actually it fits with our sugya over here. The Torah Chaim explained that here you have the argument between Abaye and Rabbi Yosef about the definition of listim mizuyan, which eventually again ties in with what we said before about whether the shomer aveda is a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar. So you would think to make the distinction that Abaye is saying that a listim mizuyan may not be considered a ganav, and therefore that would affect this kavachomer, because a listim mizuyan is an onus, and we still say that a shomer and we still say that there's kefil involved. But we're not saying that. We still say like Rabbi Yosef is saying that a list of mizuyan is in fact considered basically like a ganav, and therefore there is in fact kefil involved. So here Abaye is trying to argue not like that, but the Gemara is going to point out it's not so, and therefore the Braisa is sort of trying to forestall that argument, that potential argument, by saying there's no way of refuting that kavachomer, as we're going to see the continuation of the discussion. Says Abaye, v'sapdaidach listim mizuyan ganavu, if you're going to tell me that a listim mizuyan is considered a ganav, and therefore that he pays kefil, and if a shomer claims listim mizuyan, and it turns out that he's lying, then he pays kefil, Well, then, my anal of tshuva. Then why is there no refutation of that kavah chomer? Ikal mifrach. You could shlug it up. You could say malach shomer sacher shekain mishalom tashlum akefil b'toyin tainus listin mizuyan. After all, you could say, what are you telling me? You're making a kavah chomer because you're saying everything that a shomer sacher is potter for. Now, things that a shomer sacher is potter for, a shoyel is chayim for. But what about this case of listin mizuyan? You're telling me it's considered like a ganav, and a ganav, a shomer sacher is already chayav for. So you're saying that and the point is a shomer sacher would be paying kefil in that case. Whereas again, a shoyel, there's no case where he'd be paying kefil because even whatever he claims, whether he claims an onus or not, either way he's chayav to pay. Therefore, it never reaches the point of him swearing falsely and having to pay kefil. So then you do have a chumrah in a shomer sacher over a shoyel, a case where a shomer sacher is going to be paying kefil and the shoyel will not. So if you say, in other words, that a listin mizuyan is not considered a ganav but rather a gazlan, then you never have kefil. So therefore, fine, you don't have any chumrah in a shomer sacher over a shoyel. But if you're telling me he's a ganav and there's kefil involved, then don't you have a chumrah in the shomer sacher over the shoyel. Omalei, sort of Yosef answers him, Kosovra hai tana, because the tana of this braisa takes the view, tana b'loi shvua adif from the kfeila b'shvua. You know what? To have to pay keren without having to take a shvua is considered stronger and considered more chomer than having to pay kefil based on a shvua. Meaning, in other words, like this, you have a shoyel right on the spot, becomes chayev, there's no shvur, there's no nothing, and right away he's chayev to pay ken. It's true that a shomer sacher, there could be a case where he's going to end up paying more, but that's only going to be, you have to have a bunch of circumstances over here. You have to have, he's going to swear falsely, and then edim come. So therefore, that's not really considered a chumrah on the shomer sacher. That's just considered, in effect, Rashi says it's just a chumrah for the fact that he swore falsely. So you can't really consider it an intrinsic chumrah of a shomer sacher, and therefore the kavah chomer that the braisa made is still valid. It's true there would be an actual case where the shomer sacher pays more, but nevertheless it's not necessarily that constitutes a chumrah in the shomer sacher. It's really more a special case of a chumrah of shvua, and here by a shoyel there's no shvua relevant in the first place, so therefore there's nothing to talk about. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos explains a little differently that because what makes him have to pay the kefil is because he would have been potter from paying the keren. So in other words, it's either or. Either you're paying keren or you're paying kefil. So therefore, you can't really consider one a chumrah compared to the other. The very fact that he's potter from keren in the case of the shomer sacher, where he claims listin mizuyan, that itself makes him chayev in kefil if he claims falsely and it turns out that he was lying. So therefore, the Tana is still saying b'zeru kavah chomer she'ein alav tshuva. In fact, there is a valid kavah chomer over here that you really can't find any chumra that a shomer sacher has over a shoyel, I this case of kefil, but that's not considered a chumra for the reasons that we just said. All right, the Gemara says lema misayale. Can we say that the following braisa, that the following Mishnah rather, supports Rabbi Yosef's position? So, the point is this was all kind of a side discussion over here about the status of a listin mizuyan. This ties into, we needed to say that listin mizuyan is a ganav in order for Rabbi Yosef to be able to explain what the cases of Toyin Tainus Ganav Aveda and paying Tashlumei Kefil. If you say that the Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Sacher, then a Shomer Sacher is Chayev for Gneva Aveda. So what would be the case? Where he ever comes to pay Kefil in the first place is Tainus Listin Mizuyan. So that drove the discussion from the bottom of Amud Aleph until here, the middle of Amud Beis, about what is it in fact the case that a Listin Mizuyan is considered a Ganav. So fine, Rabbi Yosef has defended that position. Now we can get back to the main discussion about whether the Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar. So the Gemara says, can we prove Rabbi Yosef's point that he's a Shomer Sachar from the following Mishnah in Perek HaMakdim? When a person rents a cow from somebody else, and at this point we're assuming that a socher has the same dinim as a shomer socher, which is in fact, as we've learned before, and as we're going to learn again soon, there are different opinions about that. But anyway, so he rents a cow from somebody else, the nignava, then the cow was stolen. It's a braisa there in Hamafkin. He says, I'll pay, I'm not going to swear, even though I would be able to swear and I would be potter, nevertheless, I'm choosing to pay. And later on, we find the ganav. So Meshalem, Tashlome Kefal, La Socher, then he pays the Tashlome Kefal to the renter. At the beginning of Hamafkid, it talks about the whole concept of there, that there are cases where sometimes the Shomer is entitled to the Kefal or the Abba v'Chamisha, basically where he pays, or in some cases, the Gemara says, even when he says that he's going to pay, and then that way he's not matriach, the other guy to come to Beis Din to get the whole thing worked out. So therefore, so the Gemara discusses over there how the mechanism by which the owner is machna to him the kefal or the abav hamisha. So here we have one of those examples where the socher says, instead of, even though I'm a socher and I would be potter from paying, nevertheless, I'm going to pay. So now if it comes out that there's a kefal, then it's considered that he acquired the animal and therefore that he acquires the kefal. Now, savruha, now the Bnei HaYeshiva who brought up this point where they're trying to where they're trying to use it as a proof for Rabbi Yosef, they thought to Rabbi Yehuda that this braisa would necessarily be according to Rabbi Yehuda, the almost socher kenosa socher dummy. He says that a socher has the same din as a noise socher as a shomer socher. So therefore, the dinim of a shomer socher, that a shomer socher is chayev for bnei v'aveda and has to pay on the spot. But on the other hand, for unsin he's potter, Rabbi Yehuda holds the same thing applies to a socher. The reason why the Gemara makes that assumption, Tosfos says, first of all, because there's a stam mishnah in Masechet Shavuos that says that way, and we know the halacha is always like a stam mishnah. Aside from that, anyway, a different other Rishonim point out the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in that regard. We'd rather assume that the braisa goes according to the one according to whom the halacha is like. And for that matter, the same way as we say stam mishnah and a meir, we often have that stam braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, and that's another reason why to say that that we would assume the braisa is like Rabbi Yehuda. Well, so then in that case, a socher is again he's chayev for gnev v'aveda, he's potter for oinus. So umid katoni omer harini mashalim ve'inim nishba. Now the braisa is saying that he says I'm going to pay and I'm not going to swear. Miklal di iboi potter le'nafshi b'shvua. So obviously the implication is he's making a claim where he could have gotten away with a shvua, and he's saying instead of doing that, instead of being matriach you to come to Beis Din and I'm going to swear and that still doesn't put any money in your pocket. Instead I'll be a nice guy and I'll just pay for it. Well hechidami. So what's the scenario where he'd be able to get away with a claim that where he'd be able to get away with a claim and a shvua? We're going to got to katoin tainus listim mizuyan. Evidently, it must be that he's claiming listim mizuyan, because again, if it was a regular gneva, he would have been chayev in the first place. If we say that a shomer socher, is considered like a shomer socher, then gneva that we wouldn't even get to a shvua in the first place. He'd just pay because a socher like a shomer socher is chayev for gneva. So it must be that he's claiming. So it must be obviously that he's claiming listim mizuyan. V'katoni, and the braisa is saying v'achakach nimtza ganav mishalom tashlum kefal socher. And we said afterwards the ganav was found, so he pays tashlum kefal to the socher. Now again, if we said that a listim mizuyan is not considered a ganav, then there's no tashlum kefal in the first place. If the braisa is talking about him paying tashlum kefal, obviously he's considered a ganav. So that would support Rabbi Yosef's position that a listim mizuyan is considered a ganav. So does that prove Rabbi Yosef's position? Amri, so they answer back, not necessarily. Mi sabret Rabbi Yehuda, You're thinking that this braisa necessarily is like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that a soicher is considered like a noisa socher. Not necessarily. Duma could have mayor severely. Maybe in fact this braisa holds like Rabbi Meir. He says that a soicher is considered only like a shemachinam. Well, then in that case, you don't have to resort to listed mizuyon. You could be talking about a case where he's claiming a regular gneva, and nevertheless, he's even a regular gneva, there's kefil involved, and he'd still be potter, because a regular gneva, a shem achinam, is potter for. So there's no reason, so there's no necessary, no, it's not necessary to say, therefore, that we're talking about that he's claiming that he's claiming listed mizuyon. You could equally well have that he's claiming a regular gneva, and we're talking about according to the opinion that he's a shemachin. Or if you don't want to have to say that the braisa is like Rabbi Meir, kidmach with Rabbi Baravua. After all, you could instead say that the braisa goes according to Rabbi Baravua's version, where he flips around the Tony, he flips around the opinion of the opinions, because he learns that a braisa says soicher ketzed mashalim. How does a soicher pay? What things is he chayev and what things is he potter? Rabbi Meir oimer kashem asachar, Rabbi Yehuda oimer kashem achinam. Rabbi Meir, on the contrary, according to Rabbi Baravua's version, is the one who says that he's like a shem asachar. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says like he's like a shem achinam. So therefore, so you can have the braisa that we just quoted, even if you want to say the braisa is like Rabbi Yehuda. Well, very well. According to Rabbi Baravua's version, Rabbi is the one who holds he's like a shem achinam. Therefore, you can't prove from here that the case of a ganav, that the case where he's claiming that he would be potter has to be a case of onus, and therefore it has to be listed mizuyan, and that listed mizuyan pays kefil, and that would bear out Rabbi Yosef's point. But rather, you could say that the braisa means that Rabbi Yehuda is saying he's like a shemachinam, and therefore an ordinary case of gneva where there's definitely kefil involved, he would be potter from, because he's similar to a shemachinam. So therefore, so no proof from that from Rabbi Yosef. Doesn't mean we're contradicting Rabbi Yosef, but on the other hand, we can't bring for Rabbi Yosef a proof from that braisa. Rabbi Zera says there's a different answer. You could say, yeah, we are talking about listed mizuyon, and yeah, we are talking about that. We are talking about that the socher is like a shem socher. But you could say, betoyin tainet hochab mayaskinen, betoyin tainas listed mizuyon, benimtsa listed she'ena mizuyon. The case could be where the socher is claiming that the thing was stolen by a listed mizuyon, and it turns out in the end, that it was a listim she'enim mezuyan. So, in other words, you're asking, how is there kefil in the first place? If the guy is a gazlan, and a gazlan never pays kefil, you don't have to say like Rabbi Yosef that a listim mezuyan is in fact considered you don't have to say like Rabbi Yosef that a listim mezuyan is considered a ganav and there's kefil involved. No, you could say the socher, and yeah, you could say the socher is considered like a shoma socher. So he claims there was a listim mezuyan, which is an oynes, and as a shoma socher, as a socher, which is like a shoma socher, he would be potter from that. However, in the end, it turns out, yes, it was stolen, but not by listim mizuyan, but rather by listim shein mizuyan. So therefore, so that guy is a regular ganav, and there's definitely kefil involved. And therefore, that's how you could have that. On the one hand, he's claiming to be potter, and he has the option to swear. And instead of taking that option, he decides that he's going to go and pay. And it turns out that there is in fact kefil, because it turns out there was a list in she'enim mizuyan. So still, that wouldn't necessarily prove Rabbi Yosef's point that a list in mizuyan is considered like a ganav. Maybe in fact a list in mizuyan is not considered like a ganav, and nevertheless. And nevertheless, there can be kefil involved, because in the end, it turns out there was a listim she'enim mizuyan. The Maharam Shif points out, by the way, that we don't even have to say the Gemara could have given a different answer as well. The Gemara could have said that, after all, we don't have to be talking about where he intends to swear truthfully. He could have falsely, Rashi brings in Hamafkid in that sugya over there about the kefil and all that. That, after all, he had the option at any time of swearing falsely. So in that case, over here also, you could say that he would have sworn falsely. This is similar, I guess, in a way, to Reb Zeira's answer. He could have sworn falsely that it was listed in Mizuyan, and it turns out that not, And nevertheless, so even to begin with, even when the Gemara pointed out that we could use this as a proof for Rabbi Yehuda, for Rabbi Yosef, it wasn't necessarily such a strong proof because after all, not necessarily do we have to assume that the claim he would have made would have been a true one in the first place. So that's that. So we've gone through that. So we've gone through that sugya. So again, the Gemara has not concluded. The Gemara has not really concluded whether the halacha is like Rabba or like Rabbi Yosef. Again, usually when we have a machlokas Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, most of the time the halacha is like Rabba. But here, again, Tosfos pointed out at the beginning of the sugya, since the Gemara takes it as a given in other places that we do have that we do accept the concept of pruta de Rabbi Yosef, then that would imply that he's considered a shomer sacher, and that is in fact how it's passed in the halacha. The shomer aveda is considered like a shomer sacher, therefore he's chayiv gnev aveda, and therefore in particular what it means is that he has a responsibility to make sure that the animal to make sure with shmina meula that the animal doesn't go out and cause damage.